All right, let's talk about happiness, your happiness, America. Yesterday on our Listener Response Network, we asked you to think about how happy you are and rate it on a scale from 1 to 10. 0 is not happy at all. Please don't be a 0. And 10 is being the very happiest you could possibly be. Come to think of it, definitely do not be a 10.
This is Damaris Morrill from St. Louis. Right now, my level of happiness is at a 10, but my normal range of happiness is from a 7 to 9. Have my health, money in the bank, a happy marriage, and 3 healthy kids, and I just paid off one of my student loans. If I was in the habit of using hashtags, hashtag winning would apply.
My name is Don. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, up until the election, I was about an 8, but after the election, I'm about a 3. I got a bit scared every night, wondering what's going to happen overnight while I'm asleep.
Well, Don isn't the only American whose self-described happiness has been slipping lately. In fact, our national score, how happy we say we are, dipped more than a half a point since last year. That's all according to the World Happiness Report. It's released this week. Americans rate 6.993 on average, and that makes you, America, the 14th happiest country in the world, down a tick from 13th last year. Who's happier than you? Denmark is, and Iceland and Switzerland. Finland joins them in the top 5, and coming in at the number 1 happiest place on Earth, Norway, which produces cheerful pieces of sunshine like this. Yes, Norway prides itself on being one of the world's top exporters of death metal. And this is a great time to bring in John Helliwell. He's a senior fellow at the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research and editor of the 2017 World Happiness Report. Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm happy. Not what you'd expect from the happiest place on Earth, Norway. Then again, maybe they can just afford it. They're so happy they can afford all that death metal.
Everybody's got varied tastes.
Well, what do you make of it? I mean, Norway number 1 on the list. That's their music. But how are you measuring this? What makes Norway so very happy and what makes America so very middling?
Two questions there. How do we measure it? 1,000 people are asked in every country every year by the Gallup World Poll to think of their lives as a ladder with the best possible life as a 10 and the worst as a 0. And those answers are averaged, and in the reports, we average them over 3 years to give us a big sample so they don't jump around too much. However, in the absolute top section of the Premier League, the top 4 countries are very close, and so you'll find one team winning one time and another winning another time, and that's what's happened with Norway, first time in first position, but it's been in that Premier group for a long time.
So, John Helliwell, you're asking a very straightforward question. I mean, it couldn't be more straightforward. Rate your own happiness 0 to 10. But then it's really the picture behind that that's important, right? What's going on at home or in society that's making people feel that way?
And that's the tough part in a way. It's non-controversial just to collect scores and report them. And that's why we do the rankings that way. But in some ways, the fun part is then doing the research and trying to explain what makes people happier in the happiest countries and less happy in the unhappy countries. And we've come up with 6 variables that dip into different aspects of life. They're not the ideal variables, but they're best we can do from the data we have, and they include income and good health. And of course, the top countries are always leaders in that. In fact, the top countries are leaders in all 6 of them. And the next are somebody to count on in times of trouble, a sense of freedom to make your key life decisions, living in a generous country measured by donations, and freedom from perceived corruption in government and business.
And, you know, then you're faced with the inevitable scientific question, John, it seems to me, which is, do those conditions cause happiness or do happy people make better conditions for themselves?
Oh, it's a nice question. And the answer is we know quite a lot more from the last 30 years of research. It's a positive feedback of just the sort you described. So you get on the right side of the line, then these high trust gives you more connections give you higher trust, and each of them gives you an extra boost of happiness on the way. And when you're happier, you're more inclined to reach out towards other people and pick up their lost wallets.
So that's sort of happiness on the population basis, which is what you're studying. And I wonder if it's given you any insight into individuals. I mean, it's one thing for 1,000 people to sort of aggregate around, you know, 7.5, which is nice. Do we know much about what makes an individual, say, whether they're a 9 or a 4?
A fair amount, because, of course, we have millions of responses to these surveys now, and the answers run from 0 to 10. And so we can figure out quite a lot about what's going on in individuals' lives. And the 6 factors I mentioned are all part of the story, but the dominant part, as we emphasize in the report this year, is the social foundations of life, the extent to which people feel they're in a trusting, caring environment where they're connected to other people and feel that they're part of a community.
So, John Halliwell, you're Canadian. This American needs you for a little bit of cross-border therapy here. I mean, you're in charge of this study. And here in America, we've slipped a little bit from 13th to 14th, right?
It's a slight decline, but there is a tendency that's picked up in Chapter 7 of the report that there's a bit of a downward trend over the last few years, fueled by drops in those social factors.
So as the researcher, as the guy who does this report, I know that you probably watched a fair amount of our campaign. What did you say to yourself in your living room watching TV when you saw a campaign commercial saying, we're going to make America great again? It's not great anymore.
Part of the secret to my happiness is I don't spend a lot of time watching television.
And
part of the reason for that is that systematically, and we've got proof of this in a variety of ways, the news coverage tends to focus on the negative aspects of life and not a balanced view, so that the more you watch the news, the more jaded you get or skeptical you get about the warmth of the social context in which you're living. In a global sense, there's been this divisive move in several countries, so it's not unique to the United States, and we see evidence of it elsewhere as well.
So I guess the question is your report best for individuals, for us, the action in our lives, or do you want to sit down with President Trump and Angela Merkel and Theresa May and give them this report and tell them what's happening with happiness in their countries?
It's both. We're trying to get, in general, how people feel about their lives to be treated more seriously than national income or unemployment rates or any of the usual things that leaders talk about and people talk about. And to do that, we have to raise the profile in the public, and then we have to make sure that the science is good enough to support serious discussions with policymakers about how they might set a stage within which happier lives are going to be lived.
And part of the beauty of the World Happiness Report is that while you're reading it, you can turn off the television. Maybe the most important advice from John Halliwell. He's senior fellow at the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research and editor of the 2017 World Happiness Report. John Halliwell, have a happy day.
Same to you.